This is Frames of Mind on Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. 100 years ago, a report by a state commission studying treatment of the insane described deplorable conditions of almshouses for African Americans and asked the state to build a psychiatric hospital specifically for African Americans in Maryland. That place came to be known as Crownsville State Hospital. It's northwest of Annapolis, a segregated hospital for African Americans who were mentally ill. It was an institution described as Maryland's shame by the Baltimore Sun in the 1940s. And though the hospital was closed in 2004, historians and filmmakers are still piecing together the tragic history of racial disparity in psychiatry and medicine at Crownsville State Hospital. Janice Hayes-Williams is an historian in Annapolis. She's investigated some of the story of Crownsville Hospital. She joins us from the State Archives in Annapolis. Welcome to Maryland Morning.
Thank you, Sheila. How are you?
I'm fine. Janice, what drew you to studying Crownsville Hospital?
I was drawn into the Crownsville Hospital history, or should I say saga, through my uncle, Mr. George Phelps. He got a call and asked me would I come to Crownsville to see the cemetery there. And what I did, I was really drawn by the fact that all of these people had been buried there, and the majority had no names on their stones, only numbers. From there, I decided to find out exactly who these people were.
And I can't imagine how, if you're faced with tombstones, no names, just numbers, how did you find the human story there?
Because I do so much work as a historian at the Maryland State Archives, I knew that the death certificates would be available. From the hospital's beginning in 1910-1911, I was able to accrue a group of volunteers who came to the archives with me several times a month, and we just started looking through all of the death certificates from Anne Arundel County that were labeled Crownsville State Hospital, and we started recording them, the first death being recorded in 1912.
So you found causes of death for many of the patients who were buried at the hospital. What were some of those causes of death?
Anywhere from hypothermia, death from electric shock therapy. There were many deaths as a result of tuberculosis, symptoms from syphilis, and many, many mental diseases. We also found death certificates of babies that were born to women who had been in the hospital for many years that died there. They're also buried on the cemetery. I could not determine the treatment other than treatment wasn't good when people are dying from electric shock therapy, when they're dying from hypothermia because of treatments being used. But as a historian, having looked at over 1,500 death certificates, it is very clear that something is wrong at Crownsville State Hospital.
Well, the conditions that you uncovered, do you attribute them to what was understood about treating mental illness early in the last century, or do you attribute them to prejudice?
Both. I believe that some of the almshouses and some of the early hospitals were almost medieval. And at the same time, you've got to understand at Crownsville, just as they are sending bodies to the University of Maryland Hospital as cadavers, they're doing their own experiments there in autopsies. And when I look at Maryland, I can understand Maryland's shame from Crownsville State Hospital to the shame of slavery to some of the people who we've elected to do the things that they do to us in the state of Maryland. We need to know our history, because if we don't know what has happened in the past, we can't improve where we're going in the future.
Janice Hayes-Williams, Annapolis historian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we're joined now by Paul Lurs, a former employee at Crownsville State Hospital and its unofficial historian. Welcome to Maryland Morning.
Thank you very much.
How long did you work at Crownsville Hospital?
Well, I actually started at Crownsville in 1964 as a graduate student. And that was the year that it was integrated at the adult patient level. I then came back after graduate school as a social worker in 1966 and worked in the adolescent program.
Were the conditions at Crownsville State Hospital different from the kind of care that white patients were receiving at psychiatric hospitals in Maryland?
Well, I hear that question often, and I actually brought two things in from the 50s. The first is a report from a chairman of the Mental Hygiene Board of Review, and this is June 23, 1952. And this is a letter to the governor. He says, for instance, why this institution is allowed a patient per capita cost of $1,085, an amount less than any of the other hospitals, 50% less than two of them. I'll give you another example. This is from the Sun paper of June 1st, 1953, and they're describing what was called the old ward for highly disturbed women. And this is the quote. Here are truly creatures of the dark. The sickest ones are kept in a room as forbidding as a dungeon. Twice a day, a bucket of water and two cups are brought into the door to give the inmates a drink. These and other patients on the same floor, a total of 96, have the use of three toilets, three wash basins, and one tub. Now, this is a long report in the Sun paper. I mean, it goes on and on describing similar conditions in other wards of the hospital.
And that was before your time at Crownsville.
That was before my time.
Do you have an impression of whether there were any changes made after that public attention?
There were changes made all along. I mean, gradually it improved. But as late as 1972, Dr. Phillips, the superintendent, said there is a long history of neglect in funding by the legislature towards Crownsville Hospital, and this is because it is the African-American hospital. I mean, he made it very clear that he knew the conditions were poor, but he was doing the best he could with the resources he had.
Were you troubled working there?
I was troubled about the conditions in the adolescent program. When I started there, the adolescent program was a small 10 to 12 patient unit, so that the unit itself only had maybe 10 or 12, but there were like 40 to 50 kids throughout the hospital on adult wards. And these wards were overcrowded, the kids were abused, they were living in very poor conditions. So Dr. Phillips combined all of these kids into one building, and that's when I came to work in the adolescent program. So there were 42. And the kids' day room at the time was in the basement. It had very little furniture. The school was on the second floor, and bedrooms, a large dormitory, was on the third floor. But I have to say, the nursing staff was fantastic. They did an excellent job with the kids, again, but in a very poor building. So I was disturbed very much so by the conditions of that building.
Paul Lurs, a former employee at Crownsville State Hospital, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And Janice Hayes Williams. Earlier we spoke with Janice Hayes Williams, an historian in Annapolis. This is Frames of Mind on Maryland Morning. After a break, music from synthesizers of all shapes, sizes, eras, and origins. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on 88.1.